Today on Real Radio.
This is an amazing portion of scripture here, my friend, because what God is saying through John here to us is this. When things start to happen, you better consult God. And the world's not going to do that. It's telling us in advance. Look, this is sometime down the road. When things happen, what do? Hey, God, come on, what are you doing? Watch out. We've all done that to some degree or another. We often say it in a softer tone. If I were God, if you were God, we'd mess things up royally. We wouldn't know what to do. But when we say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I go to church, and then something happens. And look, something's going to happen in our lives. It will happen. None of us are exempt. How are we going to handle it?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, a feeling, give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the book of Revelation. Our journey through this apocalyptic account brings us to chapter 16. This is another one of those passages that speak blatantly of God's wrath. It is symbolic language, but the anger of our Almighty Maker is unavoidable and unmistakable. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called A Time to Be Watching.
He disciplined you because he loved you. And you're here now. It's as though in the scripture Jesus says that he goes after out of the 100 sheep, the one that runs away, he goes after the one that's walked away from the 99. And, you know, I told you before in John's gospel that when a shepherd did that, what Jesus didn't say, but what everybody in the audience knew, is that when a lamb wanders away, remember, you know where I'm going with this? When the lamb wanders away, the shepherd goes and gets the lamb. And before he brings him home, the shepherd puts the lamb down there on the ground and takes two stones and puts it between, or I should say, puts the leg like a bridge. Two stones like this right here, two stones, and the leg of that lamb, what we would say our femur, is stretched out across those two stones. In the middle is a hollow valley, and he takes the shepherd's rod, not the staff, the rod. He takes the rod, and he just goes, wham, breaks that bone, just like that. He takes a rebellious little lamb, breaks its leg, and then for about a month, he's got to carry that little lamb on the back of his shoulders the whole time because he can't walk, and it's totally vulnerable. It smells the shepherd, licks his sweat, gets a closer tune on his voice, is with the shepherd so much after the discipline that little lamb not only limps for the rest of his life, like Jacob limped having wrestled with God, but that little lamb limps the rest of his life because he has grown close to the fact that this is his master, and this master loves him. And during that time of recovery and discipline, he learned things about the master's heart he could have never have learned any other way. And that's why it's so wonderful when James says, you and I who are believers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? God draws us closer. We get to, as it were, lick the sweat from the back of his neck, sense his smell, be associated with him, feel his heartbeat. We're closer to his voice. It's a wonderful truth. It's a powerful thing. And so we see that God disciplines his children. Judgment, you and I have been spared from. Jesus did all that on the cross for us. But there's a time coming, and it's called the book of Revelation, the great tribulation period when God will judge the world for its sin in his wrath. And it's a tremendous thing. It's a horrible thing. It's something that the world has quite never seen, certainly in the scale as this, since the great flood of Noah. So Revelation 16, we go on. It says in verse 2, so the first angel went out and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men. Listen, came upon the men who had the mark of the beast. Will believers take the mark of the beast at that time? No, we already studied that. and those who worship his image. A believer's not going to bow to this Antichrist image either. Verse 3, the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Two things about this, one personal, one biblical. Biblical first, you know very well of a time when God judged before when turning water into blood. This is going to be a time that is apparently global. Can you imagine such a thing? Can you imagine walking into your shower? We're coming to the fresh water part in a moment. It's going to get bloody too. Can you imagine going down to the beach and it turns blood? And you know what's worse, you guys? Any of you doctors or nurses or emergency response people, it doesn't say that it's the blood of a living man. Anybody know what color the blood of a living man is? It's red. I don't want to gross any of you out. It's still early. You may or may not have had breakfast yet. I don't want to ruin your day. For 13 years, I worked with human blood in a laboratory developing technology around the human blood cell and all that stuff. We'd get our blood, I don't know why, we'd get our blood flown to us by Learjet during the night from the University of Chicago from students. So while we were sleeping, it was coming in, and while when we showed up in the morning, it was all there, and we'd prepare it for our studies. And because it was so expensive every day that we did these tests and development of these products, future medical products, as we went through this thing, we couldn't end the experiment until or unless the blood broke down to a point where it was no longer reasonable. It had to be alive, had to be working. There's a point in time when blood ceases and that red blood cell begins to lyse or break open. It's terrible because there's no more plasma anymore. It's all red. When that happens, we've got to shut down the study and we start to clean up. It takes hours to clean up. The smell is unbelievable. The color is more what we would say ox blood or brown. The color of a scab. It's hideous. And smell? And the sad thing is, we would either build up a tolerance to it, or we would often reserve, we had a little can of Vicks vapor rub that we would put within our helmets or our hoods or our face masks, depending on what study it was. Stink. Oh. God says that this judgment's going to come, and it's going to just devastate the saltwater system, and the water's going to become blood. You say, Jack, that's impossible. Well, of course it's impossible, unless God's doing the doing. However, if you're a healthcare person and you know a little bit about this, chemically, there's not much of a difference between salt water and human blood, is there? Very little difference. I'm not talking color, and I'm not talking viscosity, how thick or thin it is. Chemically, the properties between salt water and the human blood is very unique. It's nothing for an angel who's been given authority when he comes to the edge of heaven, so to speak, and pours that bowl of his judgment on earth. Don't you think that angel is pretty bright about chemistry? Smarter than any human ever has been. He's going to snap his finger, pour out that bowl, and yuck on the earth. Stink? Who? And to make it worse, we live close enough to the ocean here. You ever smelled this? You ever taken a good whiff of a dead sea creature? It's worse than anything. Ooh, what a time. Let's go eat. And the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water. This is the fresh water system. And they became blood. Turn it on your shower. Yuck. And I heard the angel of the water saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is, who was, who is to be, because you have judged these things." The angel makes the announcement. People, listen, we need to be encouraged by this. We circle it. Void of any human influence and any human bias, an angel looks and says, "Right on, God." You and I are saying, "That's terrible. The earth and all the blood. How sad. That ought not to be." That's because you and I are not very smart when it comes to angels and God's judgment. The angel who is created and stands before God in perfection knows a lot. And the angel says, "Right on. This was righteous judgment." In other words, the sin that they've committed in scope of your judgment, God, You're right on the money. See, I am not qualified to make that ruling because I am so biased and skewed. I can't judge right. I can't discern this right. But an angel, take it from the word of an angel. Angel says, thumbs up, two thumbs up, good job, God. Well, look what happens. This is the reason why. As this announcement is made, for you have judged these things, verse 5, look at verse 6. The word for or the word because, same word there. Because they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. They've killed the prophets. They've killed the tribulation saints. Those that believed in you. Good judgment, fair and just. Look what he says. And you've given them blood to drink. They've shed blood, now they drink blood, for it is their just due. Verse 7, and I heard from the altar a voice saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Verse 8, the fourth angel in great succession poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire, that is obviously upon the earth. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. Look, notice this. Not only is all this stuff going on, but this great heat is happening and people are burning up. Where are you going to cool yourself? Hey, come over to my house. I got a pool. All right, I'll be right over. Hangs up. Your pool's bloody. What are you going to do? You're going to go to a waterfall in Yosemite? It's going to be bloody. You say, Jack, that can't happen. I wonder how many people thought a tsunami couldn't happen either to Asia. Isn't it bizarre? Wasn't it last week? I was on the road for some of it, but from roughly a quarter after 4 a.m. Was that Wednesday? What day was that? Quarter after 4 a.m. Now, I know I was standing at Starbucks getting ready to hit the freeway at 6:20-ish, and the ground started moving. And then I heard later on the news as I was driving, because you know when you're driving on the freeway, you can't feel it unless it's a real big one. And if you can feel it driving, you better park and call home, you know? Well, I'm driving, I'm listening to the news, and oh, there's another one, oh, there's another. There are 9 earthquakes in a matter of just a few hours. And so Caltech said, you know, this could be a precursor to something larger within the next 72 hours. So everybody's like hanging on. And I put a little memo out to the staff. Make sure you know your exits because this is what Caltech is saying. Make sure you get away from the building because it's been designed to fall outward. I don't know if that comforts you or not. In other words, run and run far. Why? Because Caltech said it could happen. You know, just being careful, making sure the earthquake insurance is in effect. And but in California, we kind of, that's one thing we think about. We're not afraid of a hurricane, but it's always in the back of a Californian's mind. Could this be the big one? Well, the sun, men are being scorched. There's no water to put these fires out or to quench this horrific heat. And it says that they did not repent. This is an amazing portion of scripture here, my friend, because what God is saying through John here to us is this. When things start to happen, you better consult God. And the world's not going to do that. It's telling us in advance. Look, this is sometime down the road. When things happen, what do you do? Hey, God, come on, what are you doing? Watch out. We've all done that to some degree or another. We often say it in a softer tone. If I were God, if you were God, we'd mess things up royally. We wouldn't know what to do. But when we say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I go to church, and then something happens. And look, something's going to happen in our lives. It will happen. None of us are exempt. How are we going to handle it? When pressures come, what are we going to do? I quit. I've already tried that. It doesn't work. God, leave me alone. That doesn't work either. But Dr. Wiersbe, Warren Wiersbe says, and I've said it many times, when difficulty comes into our lives, Wiersbe says, it either makes us better or bitter. You either adopt Job's policy of just kind of closing the mouth and saying, naked I've come, naked I go. Lord, you're king, you are God. I give to you my life because you're the only one. Or we do what these people will do. They shake their fist at God and critique him while these cataclysmic global events are taking place on earth. Can you imagine? It would be like this. People now in Asia saying, we hate God. Ooh, excuse me. Best to fall on your face and say, Lord, are you out there? I want to know who you are. In such manifestations of global disasters, is there a kingdom? Is there a God? Is there a hope beyond what I see and feel? That's what we want to do. These people repeatedly, Book of Revelation, say, come down here, God, so to speak, like with Nimrod. Come down here and I'll show you a thing or two. Or just wait, I'll come up there in the spirit of Nimrod and I'm going to take you out of heaven. And so thus Nimrod builds his Tower of Babel and he goes up to the top, for he was an archer and he was going to shoot God out of heaven. He was a hunter of men. Technically in Hebrew, he was a hunter of men's souls, and he was a very wicked man. Nimrod is understood, by the way, in theological study as the first type of the Antichrist. Nimrod. Oh, with a name like Nimrod, you got to be something bad. He came out, he must have had horns on his head. Mom said, I'm going to name him Nimrod. I made that up, but he's got to be a... Well, look, focus on these few things right here, right now, if we would, and we'll get on this. Is verses 12 to 14, a time to be watching would mean this. It's because, my friend, we need to be watching that the world is being prepared. Can you jot that down, point number one? The world is being prepared, not only in our study that's before us, but in our world that we're living in right now. How so? Number one would be this, that there's, in the Bible here, the rise of Asia. Yeah, the rise of Asia. And a focus of the world's attention on the great river Euphrates. Now that's wild. Now watch this. Verse 12, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. We'll stop right there. I'm not going to go into all the scriptures about the kings of the east, other than to tell you that it is those of the region of Asia. So keep this in your mind's eye. In your hand, can you hold up your Bible for a second? I need to see this. Hold up your Bible. Go ahead. No one's going to look around. Oh my gosh. Man. Okay. You're holding the Bible. It's 2,000 years old, just New Testament only. It's talking today in the 21st century about the river Euphrates. We hear about the river Euphrates almost a couple times a week by virtue of the fact there's a war going on in the land of Babylon. It's called Iraq. And there's a river that flows there by the name of Euphrates. It is, it has been, and it will be the river Euphrates. I love how we can hold up our Bibles and open up our newspapers. We're talking Euphrates River. 2,000 years ago, we're talking today, Euphrates River. Number two, the rise of the kings of the east, of Asia. Whatever is going on here, we'll know more as we go through our studies in following weeks. The rise of this group, you already know a little bit about. Revelation 9:14 tells us that under the river Euphrates are four angels, they're fallen angels. We think of angels always being good, not so. There are fallen angels that are bound under the river Euphrates, not in the water. It wouldn't matter. You couldn't see them anyway because they're spirits. But it doesn't say in the water. It says that in Revelation that they're bound under the river Euphrates, under the riverbed. There are four fallen angels that are so bad and so nasty and so wicked that they're, right now at this hour, they're incarcerated under this great riverbed. By the way, did you know in antiquity, even today in many cultures, the river Euphrates is responsible for the division from east and west? It is the river Euphrates that divides east from the west. On the west coast of America, we think of the Pacific or the Atlantic Oceans. Not God and not ancient cultures and not some cultures today. The dividing point is the great river Euphrates between east and west. What's interesting about that is it says here that it's going to be dried up by this angelic power, and it's going to open the way to prepare the way for the kings of the east. The Bible tells us, we've studied before, 200 million soldiers will be gathered from the various nations of Asia that will come into, out of, by the way, from, if you're looking at Jerusalem, I should turn around. If you're looking at Jerusalem here, they're going to be coming from the east. That's where Baghdad is over here. If you keep going out that way, you come to Asia and those nations. They're going to come. It'd be great if we had a globe right now. I should have had one for you. We could have looked at it. The great river Euphrates in Asia. It gets our attention. Number two, look at verses 13 and 14. A time to be watching because the world is being prepared. The rise of satanic powers and demonic activity. This is amazing. It's going to reach such a point. Watch what happens. Verse 13 and 14, I saw three unclean spirits. What does your Bible say? Were they frogs? No, like frogs. Scholars don't know what that means. Were they ugly? Well, probably. Did they have warts on them? I don't know. I don't care. They're bad. Do they sound like frogs? Don't know. What we do know is there was another plague, again, way back in Exodus with frogs, regarding a people who refused to worship God. Egypt. They come, listen, these unclean spirits are like frogs coming out of the mouth of three personalities. Number one, the dragon. Do you guys remember, students, what the dragon or who the dragon is? Come on. Satan. The red dragon, Revelation chapter 12, Satan. It comes out, one mandate comes out of Satan, who the Bible says is the father of lies, remember? Number two, this demonic activity comes out of the mouth of the beast. That's the Antichrist, so to speak, Satan's son, the Antichrist, Mr. 666 to us. And also out of the mouth of the false prophet. A man, as we'll study more in Revelation 17 and 18, the false prophet, a man who stands in the place, as it were, of the Holy Spirit. This is an ungodly, demonic trinity. And out of these influences of three come powers that are demonic, and look what they do. Verse 14 to me is haunting. Kind of gives you the jeebies, you know?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study taken from Revelation 16 called A Time to Be Watching. Join us on Monday's broadcast as we continue studying through the book of Revelation. Meanwhile, pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. www.realradioactive.org is where you can hear past broadcasts of Real Radio at no charge. In fact, another free service is a subscription to our podcasts. You see, our mission at Real Radio is simple. We just want you to be informed and equipped. So, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, we kindly ask that you remember the expenses involved in bringing you this daily program. So, if you can, help out by contributing to our radio fund. There's more than one way to contact us. Here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number is easy, 909-393-7100, 909-393-7100. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at www.realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine
amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.